You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by the Going North Advancement Compass, available now on Amazon.com. It is an interactive journal for you to track your personal growth, track your goals, track your wins, and help you advance north to your next level of success. So pick it up today and get growing. Now let's get on with today's episode. And today on the Going North Podcast, the highlight reel builder for authors, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, my friends. That's right, indeed. You're going to be in for a treat that is good enough to eat two times over, my friends. That's right, indeed. Because today's wonderful guest, y'all. That's right, indeed. She's got a bright, beautiful head on her shoulders, y'all, because she's a startup mentor as well as a music lover, world traveler, and a technology licensing officer. So let's give it up for the AB herself, the AB herself, the one, the only Afarine Belisario. How are you doing today, Afarine?
I am fine. Thank you very much. It's a little cooler in Boston, so it's good.
My goodness, like with all bios, they're not allowed to be 17.5 days long, and I probably only covered, I don't know, 17 seconds. So my filling is in on how you became the amazing lady that you are today.
I grew up in Iran, and I always wanted to write, but writing in Iran, and same as here, if you want to stay an ethical and a good person, it's hard. It's very hard. And unless you're brilliant, and I'm good, but I'm not, you know, I haven't won the super duper prizes yet. So, you know, it's a choice. So you say, okay, I want to stay true to my beliefs and to my feelings. And I also want to make a living. I don't want to live for the rest of my life in somebody else's basement or whatever. So you make a choice. And then when I came to the United States, when I was here, I was studying. And of course, revolution happened in Iran, and I couldn't go back. Not couldn't, but wouldn't go back. And again, you in America, there are lots of good writers, but good engineers are always in demand. And I'm grateful for the opportunities I was given. So I stayed in the high tech business and did all right. It's but I had a chance. I said, okay, now I can do a little bit for what I have passion for. So I started writing. So, I'm not a hobby person. So I don't have a hobby. Everything for me has to be taken seriously. So that means that when I started writing, I took classes, and I worked with the mentors and with the teachers and editors. So that takes a lot of time, as you are aware. So that's that was not something that I could do after hours, when I was working full time a day job. And that's unfortunate, but it's true.
Yeah, I hear you indeed. Yep, technology pays. That's right, indeed. And my goodness, so I'm guessing I'm assuming there are probably days when you were the only lady in the class.
many days. and many times when I was the only woman in the meeting. So it's kind of, you get used to it. You know, guys are just like gals, excuse me. And gals are just like guys, you know, inside we're all the same. So we all have our good points and bad points, and you have to live with the good point, with the bad points, and you have to appreciate the good ones. So, you know, it's part of life.
There you go. So writing these, writing these. And you actually ended up at MIT, probably one of the most prestigious colleges in the whole freaking country too. So not only you got your degrees from there, you're actually still an advisor there. So they must really love you there.
Yeah, I have a feeling that I never left. It's a hard community. It's hard to navigate, but it's also full of good people. And I have friends there, and I have a community that supports me there. So and I support them too. I mean, I love to work with the young people. I work as a mentor with a lot of startups and young people. And they come from all walks of life. They come from all over the world. They want to do good, and I want them to do good, but I also, they all want to do well. And I also want them to do well and do good at the same time. So that's my mission in life. And that's part of why I wrote the novel, and I speak with yourself and others, because we all have to use whatever tools we have to help others, to do good, to be a useful member of society, to bring people together.
Yeah, there you go. It's writing days, writing day, keeping it useful, y'all. It's writing day, keeping it useful indeed. So my goodness, being a mentor to the young folks, has there been a lesson that you learned about yourself through being a mentor all of these magical years that you didn't know about yourself before?
Yeah, and many things, many things. When there's a lot of enthusiasm. I mean, I used to have enthusiasm as well, and I do still have enthusiasm. I love their energy. I love their enthusiasm. I love the fact that they're so different from each other. They all have different visions of life. And I am, there are a lot of people who are giving up on young people. I'm not. I think that this generation is going to be dynamite. I mean, I am very, very excited to see. And the other thing is that, there are a lot of things that are wrong, not wrong. They are, I mean, we gave them the smartphones. We introduced them to this lots and lots of things that are happening. And I'm happy to see that the young people, a lot of them are saying, no, I want to be without cell phones for 15 minutes a day. No, I want. So they are becoming a lot more independent, and not only from us, the parents and whatever, but also from the technology and the, that they're not beholden to these. They are becoming much more sophisticated about using of technology. So I am very happy to see that. It's still is an infancy. It's we have this toys that we are playing with, and then this toys, some of them are good for us, some of them are not good for us. So I think that they are learning what is good and what is bad. And I just would love to be to put my two pennies to it, and to talk to them, and to talk to others about using these tools in a good way.
Good way indeed, a good way indeed. So my goodness, you loved writing for a long time, and you're able to carve out some time in your big old busy schedule to finally join the business of immortality with your first book, Silenced Whispers. So how was it like, especially a fiction novel, no less? I guess historical fiction in this case, right?
Yes, it's a historical fiction. And what I always say is that historical fiction, history is about events. Somebody fought with somebody else, you got this, you got that. Historical fiction is about people who lived in that era. They may not have been the big guys or big gals. They were ordinary people. And in my book, the main character, Gohar, is a ordinary person who has this, who is brought into this world in a very tumultuous time. The country is changing, and then she's changing as well. She learns. Her biggest thing is the fact that she can read and write, and most others can't. So that's her magic power, if you want to see. I mean, that's her power, and she uses that power to fight for herself. It's not easy. I mean, Iran of that time, not only had this very, very paternalistic, very, very rigid society. You know, if you were a baker, your son will be a baker, your daughter will marry a baker. So the society was very rigid, and she fought not only that rigid and tradition, but also at the same time there were corruptions in all kinds of ways. And then there were foreign meddling. There were empires in the north. You know, Russians were in the north, and the English had the India, and so they were in the west. And then there were Ottomans. So there are a lot of foreign meddling as well that was going on in Iran. And of course, Germans would wanted to get a foothold. So she lives in a very, very unsettled world, if you will. But she, like all of us, she fears, but she doesn't allow this fear to stop her from doing good. You know, she's fighting for herself, but she's also fighting for justice for her people. I mean, that's her thing. And eventually she has to fight for her love too. But that's a story, another story. So it's a love story. So you got to read it to get to that part. But yeah, and then I enjoyed writing it. It wasn't easy, it was hard, but I really enjoyed it. I really got on. I mean, there are parts of writing which is fun, you know, and I'm sure all writers are familiar with that. You know, when you are making plots and, you know, little adventures and, you know, things like that, well, it's fun, you know, kind of like, okay, I'm writing, writing, writing. Another part that for me was fun was the research, actually. I mean, a lot of writers don't like research. I come from a background that kind of like research, and I'm a very curious person. So I just want to know what is happening, what is in this world, what does this mean? And, you know, I can argue about anything, you know, anything that I know a little bit about it. So I'm a skeptic. I'm born skeptic. So I'm born curious, and so that was fun too. Editing is not fun, especially when my teacher, mentor, and she was very good, she would say, throw this away. And I said, well, it's a beautiful writing. Throw it away. Doesn't do anything. Doesn't do anything for character. Doesn't do anything with the story. So those were hard times when I would cry and throw away lines. So cry and throw away lines, but that's fine. So, but overall, I think that it was a good time. I learned, and it's always fun for me to learn something new. It's starting new, humble. You know, now I'm a new kid in town, and that's great. You know, I enjoy that.
That's good indeed. That's good indeed. You'll love to see it. You'll love to see it. Yeah, I guess the thing that most folks don't even consider when they hear or read fiction books, it's like, hey, you still have to do a lot of research, especially depending on the
Absolutely.
topic, because it's like, hey, even though it's imaginary, it's fiction, it's like, hey, there's still some elements where you're like, yeah, we gotta have some
Exactly.
element of realness here. It can't be all riding dragons all day with the computer for a tail. It can't be
That's
that.
true. That is true. Fantasies are good. They're fun, but you know, and this was not a book of fantasy. I wanted to write about real people, even though they are fictional, but they are rooted in real people. So I wanted to bring people. I mean, people can't travel to Iran these days, but I wanted to bring them a bit into that world. It's a journey. So hopefully a lot of your audience will take that journey with me and my main character, Gohar.
That's what I'm talking about indeed. Heard you like the process so much, though, that you got another book coming. Actually, is this going to be a trilogy, right?
Yes, it's a trilogy. Yes, of course. Everything has to be a trilogy. Star Wars was a trilogy. But the second book is called The Russian Road. So it's being as we speak, it's in the process of going through revisions and throwing away half of it and rewriting half of it. And then the third book is still ideas, but I'm doing a bit of research on that as well. So, sort of when I really can't write, or when I really feel like I'm at the point where whatever I write doesn't make sense, then I do some research and use that for the third part. So it's sort of like I don't know, when you have projects, it's a pipeline. So I'm filling the pipeline, hopefully that will result in the three book trilogy.
That's what I'm talking about indeed. So is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often about the book when you're doing interviews like this?
No, they're normally like yourself. Everybody asks about me why I wrote this book, and I always say, first of all, I always wanted to write, of course. But when, as I said, when I had a little bit of a chance, when you are in the corporate world, the day is very long, and by the time, and I had a young family, I had two sons, which are now young men. So there isn't much time in the day to really put anything, any thought, any serious thought to anything besides your daily work and the kids and the school and the shopping and all other stuff that you and I and all of us are dealing with. So paying the bills, whatever, this and that and the other. The bottom line is that at some point in my life, I had a chance to don't work full time, and I work full part time as a consultant, and that gave me a lot of flexibility and time when I wanted to write. But there was two questions in my mind at that point in my life. One is that as a technologist, I'm a technologist. I worked a lot on the first generation and the second generation and the third generation of cellular phones. So the smartphones that you see today are, I am sort of like envisioned it long much before I advocated for it. I was part of the legions of people who brought this to life. So, but I would see that it is also altering the society. It's altering our relationships. There was a time when I was a child when I could just walk to my aunt, or I could call my aunt and then go and see her. I wouldn't even sometimes call, just go. But it was changing our life in the sense of, first of all, we are all getting more, and me included, addicted to see what's going on, the fear of missing out, so to speak. So that's that was part of it. So it's changing society, changing relationship. And when I thought about it, is that the reality is that technology had always changed people's lives. I mean, if you look at the society pre-industrial revolution, it was totally different. If you look at society before airplanes and radios, it was different. So technology has always changed life. And then the other question in my mind was that what happened in Iran? Because the Iran that I grew up in, of course, there was a lot of differences between more traditionalist and less and more secular people, but it wasn't this. The society was a still society. They had a cohesion, and the cohesion became less and less as we became more and more modernized, if you will. And then I look back. I said, "Well, this didn't start in 1953 or 60 or 70. It started before then, and that's when the real research came about. And the research, when I did the research, it's just that the nugget of the change was born in early 20th century. And this is the time of a lot of changes really quickly, because we had we were really in the 14th century, we were Middle Ages, and then all of a sudden we had to deal with this new 20th century at that point. So, and then that was also the time when women's movement started in Iran in late 19th and early 20th century. So I was very interested in that history and I was reading about it. So the two thought came together. So I'm going to write about the technology and the changes and the how new Western ideas also came to Iran and how these ideas was flourished and how it made the society changing and made the society the changes was good for some people, not good for some others, but that caused the polarization that sort of become deeper and deeper. So that was the other thought that I had. And then the third thought that kind of combined these two is that we are about going through a new wave of technology changes, you know, with the cell phones, with the social networks, and with the, generative artificial intelligence and all these things that we no longer know what is real, what is fake. So I decided to write about a little past. So sort of, okay, but it's still relevant to us. The changes are relevant. We gotta think of, it's not that we don't accept the technology, we don't wanna take advantage of it, but we just have to give it some thought. And as we go along, we shouldn't lose sight of the rest of the society. We all are in it together. And I think that was the impetus for me to write. But the idea of writing a novel instead of writing some history book or whatever or nonfiction, it came to me really. I said, well, people really want to have fun when they read. I mean, nobody wants to read a piece of history or book that's five academics are going to read. I wanted a novel that when people read it, and when somebody tells me, oh, I couldn't put this down, or I read it in the subway when I was going to work, that's very, very satisfying to me because I didn't want to take any position or give any advice or doing anything like that, but I just wanted to say, okay, this was this society and this was my characters and how they transformed and how Iran transformed. So that was the reason that I write a novel. And I'm glad I did. It's fun, as I said.
Ah, there we go. Fun on the bun indeed. Fun on the bun indeed. That's right indeed. That's the name of the game, especially with writing a novel for entertainment and enjoyment. Because I'm pretty sure it was probably difficult for you with you being a PhD coming from MIT to actually write a novel. Was that a hard switch to make in terms of writing style?
Yes, absolutely. Their writing style was a very hard choice. But I mean, the book came out lyrical. The book came out beautiful. So I'm very, very, I always liked to write something that's sort of flows. And that's the tradition in Iran to write things that are pleasing to the ears. And I'm a lover of music. I love every kind of music. I dabble in piano, but I just dabble. I don't really play anything exciting. But I like the language to flow, and I'm glad that the book came out beautifully. So, if I may say so myself.
That's what I'm talking about indeed. That's what I'm talking about indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. You'll love to see it. You'll love to see it. Well, fun question for you. Your wonderful book,
Yes.
Silenced Whispers, the wonderful novel itself. If that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Ooh, what would be a food? Ooh, I think it would be a Persian food. The couple of them that I mentioned, it would be a Persian food. But, it's and Persian food is rice and meat and vegetables. So it's comfort food. So it's not foreign. It's plenty. There's a, you know, so So I am with the rice and rice and meat and vegetable crowd. So it's always it takes some time to make it. So I encourage people to look at Persian cookbooks. If you have a Persian restaurant around, just go and have it. But that would be it, because it really is the labor of love for one thing, but you enjoy it as well, because it is it's not a fancy French I don't know cuisine, whatever. It's comfort food, and but it's at the same time it's deep. It has some deep notes. It's complex in the sense that it's a mixture of taste, which I'm happy to say most people who try Persian food, they like it. It's good. It's not strange. So that's what it is. It's not strange, believe me.
Yeah, definitely. I believe you. It's not like you're gonna just see a random octopus somewhere on a plate.
No octopus. Well, the octopus can be very, very tasty, but no. No.
Well, for coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive, and that is, if you're to wake up tomorrow and you were 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
Be curious, be happy. We all have had ups and downs in our lives. And there are sometimes when I was young and I was hustling and I was, there were doors all closed, whatever. But somehow I had the happy pill. I stayed curious and optimistic. And I think that's what I would say to. That's what I always say to my sons. That's what I say to people. Don't be afraid. Fear is not a reason for being a coward. You can be very courageous and you can have a lot of fear. We all do. It's a jungle. It's this and that and the other. But the jungles can be discovered. They can be there could be a beautiful flower sitting on the floor of some jungle. So rather than thinking about all the bad things that can happen to you, and I don't say that, don't be cautious of the dangers out there, but go out and be curious and discover and do better than what we did. So that would be my advice. If I were 25, or if I was, or to the 25-year-olds today.
Oh yeah, certainty, certainty, certainty. That curiosity is good stuff. It doesn't kill cats. It's good stuff.
I don't know, it might kill the cat, but it wouldn't kill you. And so, yes, be courageous, ask the questions. And no question is stupid, by the way. I mean, if you don't know anything, ask. Hey, what is this thing here? That sometimes is great question.
There you go.
Gets you into
Indeed,
trouble, but
indeed.
yeah, I agree. I agree.
Yeah,
Those are good troubles.
I can go some many ways with that trouble. But anyways, folks need to get into some happiness by keeping up with you and all that you do. So for those need to keep up with the good doc herself and cop some copies of your book, what's the best way for folks to do so?
Okay, Amazon. The book is on Amazon. Life is on Amazon. So yes, please go on Amazon. You can Google for my name and the book Silenced Whispers. And some bookstores, Barnes and Nobles carry it, different locations, some carry, and definitely barnesandnobles.com carries it. And there's also a something called bookshop.org that carries the independent publishers' books, and that's another venue. So three possible ways to get it: Amazon, Barnes and Nobles and the bookshop.org. So please go out and buy, and I have my email up there. Send me an email if you like. The other day, I got my first fan mail, and this lady, wonderful, wonderful, beautiful letters for me. And so here it is. I'm sharing it with you guys. And she wrote it with longhand, and that's beautiful, lovely, lovely. So I always I'm happy to hear from people who have liked it, hopefully, and read it. And again, it's don't worry about the fact that it's about Iran. It's a Persian food. It's not strange at all. Great flavors, combination of flavors, and I love that question, by the way. But yes, it's a fun book to read. But again, after you finish it, maybe you can think about the situations in the world today, in Iran, in America, everywhere else, and that makes you think about life and things like that. So that's the hope. That's the hope that, like a good movie. I mean, I grew up with American movies, and the American movies, you see you 2 hours of fun or engagement. You're engaged with the movie, but you walk away with some thought. Okay, why did this like that? And you watch a movie like Casablanca. You watch a movie. Yes, so my hope is that this book will be like that, so that you read it, you enjoy it, but you walk away with something that you didn't know about yourself, about the world before.
You'll love to see it. You'll love to see it. That's right indeed. You'll love to see it. That's right indeed. So you're dead right, folks. Be sure to cop some copies of the Good Docs books, y'all. That's right indeed. The amazing Apolline has got some pen to paper action that's good for your brain, y'all. That's right indeed. And she's even got fan mail too, which is always a bonus. So hey, if you want to do some fan mail, write her some love letters, go on ahead. That's right indeed. She's off the market, so don't go too crazy.
Exactly, I'm with you now. As long as not too crazy.
Right indeed. Yeah, it's don't go too crazy with it. You can still she's off the market for reasons. She's a wife of the mob still. Remember I guess that'll be a silenced whisper, huh? Or maybe just a careless whisper in this case.
That's a good song, by the
So, name of the game, make sure it's a careful whisper in this case, not a careless
Careless, not careless one. Yes, exactly. Careful whispers. That's a good one. Yes.
Well, before another rabbit hole opens, any parting words before we close up shop?
No. Thank you very much for having me. Thank you for talking with me, and happy to be here, back here, whatever, and share my experiences, my book with your audience as well. Thank you so much.
If you're listening to this, that means you're one cool individual. If you want to be cooler than two cucumbers, share this episode with someone that you think will enjoy it too. And be sure to subscribe and keep listening.